Meanwhile, the Quraysh had become more alarmed. The chiefs had dispatched a spy to report on the enemy troops. He was aghast to see the grim resolution on the faces of the Muslims and begged the Quraysh not to fight. He had seen camels carrying death, the camels of Yathrib laden with certain death. Not one of the Muslims would die before he had killed at least one of the Meccans. And, the spy concluded despairingly, how could the Quraysh live with themselves after that? They would constantly be looking into the face of a neighbour who had killed one of their kinsfolk. But Abu Jahl was beyond reason and accused him of cowardice, a gibe that no Arab could ignore. He then turned to the brother of the man slain by the Muslim raiders at Nakhla, who emitted a savage war cry. Immediately, said the historian Ibn Ishaq, war was kindled and all was marred, and the folk held stubbornly to their evil course. The Quraysh began to advance slowly over the sand dunes. Observing the command of the Quran, Muhammad refused to strike first, and even after the battle commenced, he seemed reluctant to unleash his men until Abu Bakr told him to leave his prayers and engage his troops, because God would certainly give them victory. In the fierce skirmish that followed, the Quraysh soon found that they were getting the worst of it. They fought with careless bravado, as though this was a nightly tournament, and had no concerted strategy. But the Muslims did have a disciplined plan. They began by bombarding the enemy with arrows, drawing their swords for hand-to-hand combat only at the last minute. By midday, the Quraysh had fled in disarray, leaving some 50 of their leading men, including Abu Jahl himself, dead on the field. There were only 14 Muslim casualties. Jubilantly, the Muslims began to round up the prisoners and draw their swords. In tribal warfare, there was no quarter for the vanquished. Casualties were mutilated, and captives were either slain or tortured. Muhammad immediately ordered his troops to desist. A revelation came down to ensure that the prisoners of war must either be released or ransomed. Even in war, Muslims would abjure the savage customs of the past. Constantly, the Quran insists upon the importance of mercy and forgiveness, even during armed conflict. While engaged in hostilities, Muslims must fight with courage and steadfastness in order to bring the conflict to an end as quickly as possible. But the moment the enemy asks for peace, Muslims must lay down their arms. They must accept any offer of truce, whatever conditions are imposed, even if they suspect the enemy of double-dealing. And although it is important to fight persecution and oppression, the Quran constantly reminds Muslims that it is much better to sit down and solve the problem by courteous discussion. True, God permitted retaliation in the Torah. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But, said the Quran, he who shall forgo it out of charity will atone better for some of his past sins.